again.
Wow. Chad and Steve. From Chad and Steve have a podcast?
Yeah.
Wow.
You've heard. Did you go out for Halloween yesterday?
I did. I did a little thing. I did a little thing with my friends.
I only ask because out of the few people I know, you are like really one of the few people I know that are a Halloween go outer. I'm a Halloween go outer as well. Where did you go?
I just went to there's a bar that does like live shows, and like people can swap out. So like there's a trumpet player and then someone like swaps out with the trumpet player. They're doing a Halloween show, so I just went with a couple friends.
Did you dress up?
I did dress up. I'm pretty bad with Halloween stuff because I don't prepare costumes, but I do have a lot of props. So that's even things out for me within the Halloween department.
Yeah, what did you bring?
Well, normally I go through my prop bin and I pick random costumes and I put them on. And then I ask people to interpret what I am. So this year I had I was wearing like a monkey suit and like a vampire cape and a sailor hat, just a bunch of random stuff. And then some people guessed NFT and I'll take it. Yeah. I like abstract art. That's kind of a fundamental part of the Halloween costume, right? Is like people, you can just tell people anything. Mm-hmm. You can just wear anything and tell I'm, and if you don't have a good costume, you can say I'm a character from a show you don't watch. And I'm like, okay, that's a pass.
That's true. I love the idea of just kind of putting out a bunch of junk and having people interpret it themselves, you know, because that's just, it's so performative.
Yeah. What did you go as, Chad? You went out?
You're
an outer?
So what I did my house up this year and I really focused on you know, thinking of the kids and handing out candy and doing up the house right. So I dressed all in black just so I kind of fit in with the ambiance of very, very dark with all red lights throughout. And I had some speakers spread throughout. My daughter went as a witch, but I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. And we remember costumes in the 80s where you would literally just wear the mask of a stormtrooper right. And you'd put like a bag almost over you and it would be a picture of you on the costume of what you are. So it was like a little over the head because you'd be a stormtrooper, but you'd be wearing a picture of a stormtrooper.
Yeah, I remember those.
Those rough times for the Halloween costume.
Yeah, Halloween costumes are definitely advanced, and they just kind of the whole overall vibe of Halloween, I think, has improved over the past 30 years.
I was going to say you're a Halloween enjoyer,
Steve. I love it. To me, it's the Halloween of the year. I love everything about it. And I don't really ever go out and do anything on Halloween itself. It seems like I like do everything before, make my videos and talk about it and do my movie reviews and all of this stuff, but...
Yeah, you did a short skit with a cursed blade, right? And you killed
someone.
That's
right. Yeah, I killed the evil influencers from hell. So that was very meta.
Is that jam or ketchup? What kind of what is your blood of choice?
Corn syrup, Karo syrup with. But here's the deal, because usually it's made with like theatrical blood is corn syrup with like some kind of a dye or something in it. But it always stains my skin and clothes and everything. So I wanted something that wasn't going to do that this year. So I found a recipe online using corn syrup and poster paint. It's like children's paint that's washable. And so you put here's the deal. You put the corn syrup, the red paint in it, and then some cocoa powder that kind of darkens up
that
red.
That gets the
I don't think I got it quite right. And I wanted to make this year a bloodbath. I wanted blood just spraying everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I just, as it worked out, I just didn't have logistics and the time. And I was just like, I just want to get this thing done. But I think I got it pretty bloody.
Are we allowed to talk about the fact that you're a Satanist?
Sure, go for it.
Has this been mentioned before on your cast?
No, you're breaking news.
Yeah, you've mentioned it. Have you directly mentioned it on your YouTube channel?
No.
Oh, so this is breaking news for everyone.
Excellent. If you can't give me information that is pushing back and expect me not to use it immediately.
I don't think, I should preface by letting people know that the Satanic Temple is an organization that was started a little over a decade ago if you're interested in finding out really what that is. And it's really just a response to kind of religious privilege in America. And so
boring. Sacrifice babies.
And we sacrifice babies. Yeah. No.
I was going to say, is there like a connection between an interest in the macabre and Satanism?
Oh yeah. No, mostly I just like the aesthetic of it. And I think most people do. Yeah. I think it's just cool. I love all of the trappings of all of this stuff. And I love the idea of like this mythical figure, because as a person who doesn't believe in anything, any kind of spirits or ghosts or any of this stuff.
Or anything at all for that
I have no beliefs. Yeah. But to I like the concept of like the anti-hero sort of that Satan represents. He's kind of the Walter White of religion.
Now, I think we briefly touched on this, but I remember finding this out. I had the idea. I had like a good skit idea, like making Satanism great again or something. You know, really working off of the inverse of the hierarchy. Because like here's the hierarchy of God, all that is good and just. And then, you know, rather than posit something neutral or deconstructive, I say go for the exact opposite and actually drink blood and sacrifice babies and just be evil. Be as evil as possible. That's exciting.
Just go for it, yeah.
That seems more intellectually interesting than liberal humanism.
But it's probably a lot more interesting than really what Satanism is, because Satanism is really, it's a kind of more of a goof than anything, because really the whole concept was created by Christians. They're the ones who created Satan and this whole mythological being as the anti-Christ, I guess, literally.
I realized that it was you who was with us during a fascinating conversation. I think it was during VidCon. Mm-hmm. And just to rewind just a little bit and give people who are listening some context, Steve, I think what you wanted to do about 7.5 minutes ago was a little short intro.
Oh, right.
And then after...
After
said intro... Can you provide a little context to you being a dirty Satan?
Okay, so Chad asked me, can you do an intro for Greg? And my first thought was, there's no way anybody can do an intro for Greg, but here he goes. This is, I have nothing written down. Yeah. Greg Guevara is joining us with the most difficult two names to say in a row, I think. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Greg Guevara. And I got it right there. Is a YouTuber, a performance artist, a comedian, and I think that's it. Oh, yeah, you ran for mayor of Ottawa last year. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool, too. But anyways, he's joining us today to talk about I don't know what.
Mm. Well, apparently you're a Satanist.
We're talking about ideas on the podcast today, yeah. On the Chad and Steve Hunt podcast.
Well,
we're gonna talk about creativity. We're going to be... Actually, when people ask you what your YouTube channel is, what do you tell them?
Give them a different answer every time. Keep them on their toes.
Nice. I like that.
Keeps it novel for me.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, what's your YouTube channel about?
Well, normally I would say, what do you guys like? But I already know. I guess I would say like it's weird avant-garde stuff that deals with ideas, plays around with ideas, and tries to make you think of things that you haven't thought of before. And mostly though, I don't know. I'm lost in the sauce.
I would say most of what you do would be considered performance art and comedy, which is, I think, kind of something you don't really see a whole lot of on YouTube, satire in this way. People are usually just like comedy guys doing skits, and you do skits to a certain extent, but I think like a good example would be you recently did a video on both sides. What did you call it?
I did two videos. One was called Stop Both Sidesing This,
and then Both Sidesing This. Yeah, and then Both Sides Bad joining the conversation. Yeah. So I thought this was so relevant to everything happening right now in the world. Well, not in the world, in Palestine. But really what you do is this both sides, and then the end of it though, where you just flipped it and said, of course, what I'm talking about is Jack's films and Sniper Wolf.
Sniper Wolf.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that video, the both sides. So I have a video, Stop Both Sides, in it, where I, like, it seems like I'm talking about Israel-Palestine, but I'm actually talking about Jack's film Sniper Wolf. Because that is the only place I'm fit to comment on this from, is a kind of, I am a guy on the internet brained, as we all are. And this is the only way we know how to engage with it, not in any real capacity. And then the other one is like, and that's the only way we know how to engage with anything. All world events, they're just like things we see on our screen, completely disconnected from us. And then the other one is like, at the end, it's like, have I rushed quick enough to pick the meat off my bones with my vulture mouth? Like, that's what political commentary is. It's like fresh blood.
Right. I feel like isn't it difficult though it's difficult for me to like focus on anything because everything I do seems so irrelevant compared to genocide, basically.
No. Look, this podcast is going to change the world. Guys, they're gonna listen to us in the Middle East, and it's gonna cut to Netanyahu and a Hamas guy, and they're gonna shake hands, they're gonna be laughing, patting each other on the back.
Yeah. Drop the
guns.
And
then boom, peace.
Yeah.
Because of us.
Yeah.
People on the internet. We are gonna do it.
We can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as we're not so focused on Sniper Wolf.
I mean, it makes more sense. It's easy to be judgmental, but it makes more sense to focus on Sniper.
Why are people so fascinated with shit like that?
Well, what else are you going to do? Think about
real world,
the collapse of U.S. hegemony.
you had a short which was called "Disinfo on the Rise Again."
Yeah,
and in that. You mentioned that, you know, the majority of the reason why this is happening is because of sheer incompetence. And you bring up the excellent point of YouTubers just like not, or just anybody for that matter, just like hungry for the clicks and likes and doing whatever to, you know, sensationalize and whatnot. You talk about media literacy. Two questions. One, who edited that video?
I did that editing. Yeah.
Bravo. What a wonderfully edited video.
Thank you. I've never had a compliment on my editing in my life, so that's a first.
Well, it was very well done.
I have something to say about your editing, too, but continue, Chad.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Secondly, recently you've released some shorter videos, literally just as like yesterday, which could have been shorts, and that one was a short. And is there a decision that you make between that, or are you...
It's all vibes. That's the only thing that we can do when we're trying to deal with an algorithm. I'm like, you know, I have no like set rules as to when I post something or if I make it a short or a long or whatever. I guess with the last few videos, I was having stuff on the screen that I felt was important. I think, okay, for the both sides in video, the video where I'm like, stop both sides in it, I want it to come across as like confessional. And confessional videos are typically shot wide, I guess, where you like, they're sit down, they're like, listen, you know, this is a very important video. It's kind of weird to see that in short form. Short form is more like, I'm grabbing your dopamine. Give me your dopamine. You're looking at me. So that's why the disinfo video was a short.
Is that the reason why you don't do much as it pertains to shorts? Like, it looks like you experimented a little bit and you've certainly had maybe some success.
I have a series that I'm planning to do called Ideology Review, where it is like just a minute blurb of information about a specific ideology. I should do one about Satanism, actually. Huh?
I can help you out with that.
Yes, that would be great. You should be in it.
I would love to.
Yeah, but then I might want to actually do like a longer form of Satanism video. But anyway, you're right. Like I don't know. I'm no JJ. JJ gets those shorts out, gets a bajillion views.
But kind of feels at the same time locked in, like now his content kind of needs to, you know, fit a certain frame as opposed to like, I like your answer of like, it's just vibes. I wanted this to be more of a, you know, to instill this kind of feeling in a viewer. So I want it to be a wide form viewer. Do you ever factor in views, or is it always just like an outlet and who, you know, pays attention to it?
Yeah, I really should factor in views more. should probably just do nothing but factor in views. Should spend the last 4 years of my life doing nothing but thinking about views. I'm pretty sure that's what I did, actually. It just doesn't work. So I should think more about views.
You need to just go to some sort of YouTube seminar where they can teach you all not. About
no,
branding.
No,
branding.
Follow a YouTube. No, there's YouTube no, gurus
okay,
online.
First no, you can 3 seconds. No, no, first 3 seconds of your video. You got to hook them. Got to hook them.
My mind went to a dark place just immediately.
Doesn't this even just, does like, YouTube just fuck with your head? It does me all the time.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. My mind has been irrevocably altered. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I don't know. These are just chains, and I'm rattling chains. I love rattling chains. But what would I do without my chains? I would probably, I'd be like, oh, man, these risks really use some chains around them. So,
do you feel like you're just always on? Are you just always performing? It's hard to get a sense of, like, who J-Reg really is.
You don't know the half of it. This is terrible for me. Imagine how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm like, looking in a mirror screaming.
Well, I got to say, as somebody who knows you to a certain extent offline, you do present a couple of different Gregs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in a podcast format, well, I'm trying to be interesting because I'm thinking about our little viewers here, our poor little viewers, thinking my dopamine's not firing enough. I need him to be playing a character to fire more dopamine. So, you know, I'm thinking about those guys. I'm trying to help them out. It's all for you, viewers. But also, I would say I'm a pretty sincere guy overall. I mean, I have a sort of inflection in the way I speak, which makes it sound like everything I'm saying is ironic. But I would say I'm fairly open and honest. I'm good to talk about pretty much anything.
You're also like the only person that I've only met a couple times. And when I saw you at an event in Toronto, like I literally just went over and had the compulsion to hug you without even asking about masking or anything like that. But you certainly do come across.
I felt that turned around my entire day. I was at this,
you actually said that
boring video conference, YouTube conference. It was fine. It was good.
Were you invited there?
I got in through a friend who was much more brand friendly than me. He's like a trombone player.
Oh, I know him. Is that
classical trombone? Yeah.
Christopher.
Yeah,
Christopher,
he's great.
He's going to be on this show. I think.
Excellent!
Is he coming on the show, Chad?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's confirmed. Oh, yeah.
Yes, he visited me. Well, we met him at VidCon, right? So he visited me in Toronto last month, and it was great. Great hanging out. And we did Political Ideologies as Trombone Sounds. Look out for that one. I don't know.
Oh, that's gonna be like, cool.
Yeah, that was actually an interesting concept. Trying to like, how do you represent accelerationism as trombone sounds? And it turns out it's like. So he got me in. Thank you, Christopher Trombone. A good event overall. I enjoyed going, but. Yeah, I loved seeing you there, Chad.
It was wonderful because those events are very much those types of events. And I guess that's why I just went over and gave you a big hug because it was so nice to see your face there as well. Have you ever had a partner manager? Do you have a partner manager? Do you have any real connection or contact with anybody
on
YouTube?
Zilch. I always figure if I really, really needed something, I would always be able to go through JJ or Kala.
Yeah. He knows everything about, he knows everybody. He knows everybody who lives in Canada, too. I'm pretty sure.
It's true. Yeah. All Canadians know every other Canadian.
It's Ben. They all know JJ. But, yeah, well, he and I hung out at Vid Summit. And you knew we were originally we were trying to see if you were going to come along with us. But
I wanted to come.
I think
come,
you're
but
probably I, good. I don't think you would have liked it. JJ hated it.
Yeah, JJ said I wouldn't have liked it. He said he was glad I didn't come.
He just he hated every moment of it, I think. Except for hanging out with me.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, he enjoys people.
Yeah.
But I don't think, like, VidSummit is for, like, really, like, technically minded people.
It's very, I don't know, salesy, pitchy. It felt more like a sales seminar kind of conference than anything.
Yeah. He also hates wannabes, and there was a lot of wannabes who didn't have. They were like, oh, maybe I'll start my channel, but I have a lot of money. which is kind of the inverse of him.
I will say it was weird when you said that you went to the event and you paid however much you went to that event for, Steve. And Vid Summit, and you were like, I saw Mr. Beast. I mean, I didn't meet him, but I saw him on the stage. And it just felt so weird that, like, I mean, maybe to Greg's point, where it's like there's just so many people that are there because they just want to be so much of a replication of, you know, what they kind of aspire to be, that, like, true kind of creativity gets lost in the shuffle. What was Vid Summit like versus VidCon?
Well, VidCon, I think, was probably more fun because there was a lot more, like, the Hyatt day. As long as you were in the Hyatt, you know, elite club, who could go hang out with there.
That's a great podcast, by the way. That was, like, the only podcast about that specific thing that we ran into, I noticed. Like, that you were, like, the only guys talking about
The two VidCons?
Yeah, the Tale of Two VidCons. That was a great cast.
Thank you.
At Vid Summit, I started coming up with a bingo card for the speakers. And, you know, you could check off the things that they would say. And a lot of the things I kept hearing over and over again were setting the bar, delegate, leverage. You hear leverage a lot.
Leverage.
Scaling was a big topic. People like to talk about scaling a lot.
Scale the set bar to the leverage.
Cost benefits. Oh, and my favorite was the speaker who told a joke that generates no laughs, because they almost all did that. And it was very awkward when they would come out, hey, guys, I'm going to tell you, and they would say something, and there was just like crickets. I was like, oh. Yeah. Stop.
If a nuke hit that building, the world would be a better place. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
What was your experience at VidCon like, Greg?
It was lame except for hanging out with you guys.
Think it'll go again?
Like, the obvious, I have the exact same experience as you guys. Like exactly. Like, same opinions about the Hyatt stuff.
Is it just we're just so jaded with the whole YouTube bullshit?
Yeah, you guys have had time to get jaded as well. I mean, I'm pretty jaded. I can't imagine how much more jaded I'd be.
Well, I have a strange love-hate relationship with this topic, because I do love YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube. I have so many friends that are on YouTube. I love creating videos for YouTube. I really love everything about it, except for this whole, and it seems like it's really only been in the past 5 or 6 years, this kind of influx of people who are just like taking it over as just like how to make $1 million on YouTube. We're going to show you how
to use AI to optimize your
and
workflow.
it just gets sad, I guess, in a way, to see so much of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that trend will reverse.
Really?
No. I don't think. I think
how can we leverage it, though?
Let's leverage this trend. I think we're progressing towards a society where more and more value is disconnected from economic growth, and we're all replaced by robots. And instead of it being a good thing, it's a bad thing. That's my prediction. You've heard it here first, folks. So when that happens, you can be like, wow, Dreg was right. That doesn't matter that he was right, but, like, props to him.
I'm glad you said value, too, because that's such a buzzword everybody throws around. And it's a way of justifying, no matter what kind of channel, no matter what kind of video they make, is that they always tell people, well, what I'm doing is I'm providing value to my viewers. And, well, really, if... Who's to decide what is valuable, I guess? And if a viewer watches a video, most likely they're going to say, yeah, I guess I got a little bit of value out of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was actually talking about this in my, I have a monthly newsletter that comes out, and it'll be out this week, actually. And I kind of have a long discussion, kind of dovetailing off of my Halloween video about influencers, about this whole rise of the tool influencer. Influencers who are not just tools, but selling tools. And they're just really, these channels exist just to sell third-party tools. So the audience is basically your product, and you're just trying to sell them to get them to buy tools the tool companies are selling. And these guys don't actually create anything. So they're not producing anything. They're not creating. They're not adding to the world in any meaningful way other than getting people to consume. And here's the kicker on it. The trend now is to, and this is what we saw at Vid Summit, is to teach people how to be influencers to sell to other people. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
What's an example of a tool influencer?
They just come out and say, oh, guys, you got to believe the latest flash deal. Amazon.com has this. You got to go race over there right now. A limited time over for a new drill. And it's crazy because the tools are consumer grade tools. My audience is hobbyists mostly. They're good tools. They're pretty much good. And yet you get these people, they get in their camps about which brand is the best, and then they argue and fight over that, and it's so ridiculous. It's like, oh, he's a Milwaukee guy. I only use DeWalt tools. It's kind of embarrassing.
And it's reflective across like every single niche, I think so. In YouTube. Same thing happens in cleaning, same thing happens in comedy, same thing. Everything, I guess, at the end of the day gets commoditized and turned into like, where's the money to be made? Right. And we had Matt Shea on the podcast last week, who runs really, really large, all things considered, a very large gaming channel. Mm. And he's been doing it for 12 years or something like that. And when asked about like being, how do you become a successful YouTuber today, or how do you start up? He was just like, you can't. Like, I can't do it. Like, my biggest kind of thing was like when I started, and I came to that realization a long time ago, that it's like we could never do what we're doing now if we started up today. And that kind of seems to be that's the rub, and it's almost what I turned to you for, because you have managed to do all of this seemingly very organically and very kind of like truthfully, just by leading by creativity. And that's why I remember I was talking to Tom, like, I tapped you on the chest. I'm like, this is the most creative person I know right now, because you'd like literally embody that, like, I just do it and here it is, and then whatever.
Very old school. Old school YouTube.
It's very old school. And there's certainly a way to, I think, get a successful YouTube channel today, and that's by being organic or authentic or whatever that is. But what would you say to that? If like, do you think you'd be able to? Well, you're not a good example. What would be your advice to someone else who is like, hey, do I actually have the ability to do this, or do I always have to, you know, suck corporate D?
Yeah. Oh man,
that was a lot. I know.
I don't know. I don't know if I can even do it. It's like, there's kind of like three phases there. One is like, can I even do what I'm doing now? Like, but two is like, can I do it if I restarted? And then three is like, how would I tell someone else to do it? I don't even know if I can do it another week before it all comes crashing down around me. My mind has been destroyed. Fully transparently here. Two, I have thought about starting like a new channel where I just do like one stream of my content, because I have my channel is so fragmented. Like, people know me from different, completely different streams, completely different audience groups. And that's kind of cool, but also I have no identity. And it's like what we were saying before. I'm tired of staring at the mirror and screaming, who are you? Who are you? And obviously my identity is currently being socially constructed by other people. So, yeah. So anyway, if there's a young buck who came up to me and was like, how do I do what you're doing organically? I'd say, go into tech and become work for a tech corporation and contribute to the acceleration of the disconnection between the economy and value. And they'd be like, okay. Bye. Bye-bye. No, I think I would say you have to, as like, well, I'm an artist. I conceive of myself as an artist. And I think all you really have to do is make art that no one else can do. Like, no one else can would ever be able to do. And then you need to make a video about Mr. Beast. And then you're good. Yeah. Two-step process, okay? One, get as good as you possibly can get at your craft and hone yourself. And then post on some subreddits.
Okay, and you have a huge actual Reddit community, which, does that operate just like outside of your real?
Yeah, I try not to look at that.
Oh, okay.
I get PTSD flashbacks every time I look at my Reddit. I'm like, oh. Sometimes you see fun stuff, Sometimes you see some cool fan art. Other times, just staring into the abyss.
Are you disappointed at the amount of people that just don't get it?
I don't know if I get it, so I can't be disappointed in them.
Fair enough.
What about your videos? Do people understand kind of your form of satire? Even on the both sidesing in the last two videos, did you have people who just didn't get it?
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think there's that much to get. I mean, like, I think if I'm doing my job properly, there's nothing to get. Whatever you get is what you get. That's a gets good abstract art. Hmm. I remember my origin story is like I made a video called like how to be a misanthrope or like what is misanthropy, and I explained it as a misanthrope. I was like, you puss sucker, sucking cretins wouldn't get this, but here's what being a misanthrope is. And all the comments were like, why are you being so mean to me? And then I was like, okay, well, this is a very common thing for me. I make a satire thing and no one gets it, so I'll just make it so that if you think that I'm, you know, this thing, then I actually am this thing. But it can also work on multiple layers. Now, if you're an autistic person, you can only get things in the first layer. So, like, you take things at face value. But if you're schizophrenic, you see through all the different layers, but then you make up new layers. And so that's kind of the two ways I see people engaging with multiple layers of irony content in my channel. Is, like, either they're like, you're a centrist now? I thought you were an anti-centrist. That's crazy. But, like, that's it. Like, they're like, because you're telling me that, so I believe you. That's it. And then the schizophrenic is like, what does he really mean? And they send me 35 pages of like schizophrenic rambling. And I'm like, cool. Delete message request.
But you love this stuff, don't you? I mean, if you love the idea of people kind of trying to figure you out.
I like when people try to figure me out because I do not understand myself fundamentally. And my identity is way too in flux. And I rely on other people to define me.
Is that healthy?
No. And when we were talking about value before, I was thinking, like, I like to provide negative value to my viewers and myself. I think that's my role in the world. It's just suck value.
Just regret everything we just saw.
Yeah. Yeah, like, wow, my life is worse. I've gained negative wisdom. That's what I want you to take away from my videos. Like, wow, I had a framework, I had a perspective on reality, and it was working for me. You've deconstructed it and offered me nothing. Thank you, Jay Ray.
But you're putting the responsibility of watching your videos on the viewer, demanding that the viewer take an active role in that experience.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, instead of like just being like, push. Let me get my thoughts in your brain. That's a lot of political discourse. It's like, get it in your brain.
You got to cram it in
my
there.
My brain to your brain. I'm going to shove it in there. Right.
I think this is also why I was going to mention your editing, why it fits so well with this style is because it's so like low skill. It may be good skill. I don't know. But it's like lo-fi editing where it's very clear that you're just a guy who's putting together like a crappy green screen background or something like that.
Yeah. But
it works better than if you'd had a much more polished production.
That's good for me to hear because I'm always caught between like if I started like a channel for politics, right? That's my idea. That's what I'm actually wrestling with right now if I want to do that because that seems to be like I want some consistent, you know. Like if I want to get views, I'll just make politics content on like this other channel, right? But I was thinking like maybe I should get like a. I feel like if I want to just if I want to like an opportunity to just make art on my main channel, make good art that I do myself, all myself, fully full creative vision. But then also have like a second like commercial channel where I can play both ends because a man's got to eat.
Yeah,
and a man eats views. Man eats attention. A man consumes the vril of his audience and goes. So if I wanted to do that, I would get like an editor for that channel or something.
You're a vampire.
Yeah, well, we're all vampires, and the viewers right now are feeding us. We're sucking their life energy through the screen.
And that keeps all the self-aware content in one place, which you can also monetize and be mindful of. Like, hey, this is more of this, and that keeps that main channel or your channel. Exactly that, and still allowing you to like, and then you don't have to try to like put a weird sponsored video on, because ultimately, can you make a creative sponsored video, or is that just like an
option? You can. It's extra work. I do it a lot though. I try to do it as much as possible. Where I had like a Foom ad that's like it's like a fake vape thing, but I was like Foom is $100 straw, and then I was like, because it's like $100 for this like little thing that just restricts your airflow and is like a fake vape, and they didn't like that. I gotta go back and forth changing all the things I say. I'm like, I wish it gave me lung cancer. No, can't say that. So, yeah. This is my studio mate.
Hey.
His name is Art Chad. We met outside of Dollarama 2 years ago.
Hey, how's
and
it going?
He's been working on his YouTube channel. Now he's blowing up. He's tripled his subscriber count. He went from 5K to 15K. And like,
congratulations.
Going.
Yes.
Well done.
We run a YouTuber studio here in Toronto.
Oh, really?
You can come by, other YouTubers.
This is a perfect segue. Tell us about your new studio.
Well, what's there to say? We've got all these different people. We've got,
Sisyphus
55,
JJ McCullough,
Duncan Clark, Gokunaru, One Dime, all a bunch of like local YouTubers.
Yeah.
JJ's not local to Toronto.
No, he shouldn't have said JJ McCullough. Oki's Weird Stories. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of people who come by semi-regularly.
You're in Little Italy, right? In
a house? Fashion District.
Oh, Fashion District. Very nice.
People come in, they co-work.
First ever YouTube studio that's just for friends, you know?
Yeah.
Make friends. Build connection. There's no other ulterior motive.
Wow.
I just think that's rare in 2023. So it's pretty, people are pretty excited to be here.
Yeah, people like meeting other YouTubers. And most YouTubers are atomized. That's what we've noticed. So we're trying to fight against the lack of community inherent to the YouTuber community.
There needs to be a union or an association or something, because it's not being provided by YouTube. They're doing absolutely the best that they can, but they're interested in the shopping tags and showing us how to like use all the different features on their platform. Mm-hmm. There needs to be another element or something, because we have noticed this whole podcast came off of the back of when creators get together, like you get it. Like I talked to my partner manager and any of the people that I've spoken to who are wonderful people at YouTube, but like when you speak to an actual creator, it's different. So therefore, whenever you're being told how to do something from someone who isn't that, it's very, very hard. So the fact that you guys are incubating just like that community and having it be more about like, hey, this is all a space that we can use for, you know, whatever these purposes, and have a space to work and collaborate. And that's awesome, because it's what's sorely missing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and most YouTubers have, just the baseline commonality of they have enough passion to make something. So I think most YouTubers can get along on that fact compared to someone who isn't a YouTuber.
Yeah, yeah. We also don't allow posers in the studio. So if
no
you haven't
posers.
Made anything recently, then we don't let you in.
Is there any kind of initiation that happens or no?
Well, yeah, we have an indoctrination ceremony.
Okay.
And is there a litmus test to the poser test?
We can tell pretty quickly, but you guys would obviously be more.
Do you know Nick Lewis?
Nick Lewis, no, I don't.
Another Canadian YouTuber. He's an interior designer.
I think I met him in Vancouver.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's up in Vancouver. The only reason I bring him up is because I'm looking at the light over your head, and he has a thing about those boob lights.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes, I remember hearing about this.
So this is like a this is
not my choice. Okay, this is just the studio. Okay, it's not my own personal abode. So Nick, don't come after me.
And you got the green screen now. How many rooms are in this studio? Is it just like a one room apartment?
So right now it's just a big room. Okay. But in the future we're gonna get 8 people and we're gonna split it 8 ways, much like JJ does in Vancouver, and we are all gonna have keys. Come in anytime.
Nice.
Basically a 2-bedroom apartment size. Have like a room for filming and a room for audio recording, and then a main room for hanging out.
Share the equipment?
Everyone shares the equipment. I've already bought a lot of stuff that like people use. Like I bought the standing desk that I've positioned this on, and anyone can use that when they come in the studio. So we're all buying stuff for everyone else to use, essentially. Yeah. We've only been doing this for 2 months, and we've had great success. Everyone I mention this to says they'll come by.
It's a great idea.
Because none of these YouTubers have real community.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Real physical flesh community. And even now, if I could reach out and touch you and pat you on the heads, I would, but I can't. There's a screen in front of us.
Well, that's just the thing. I don't. Man. Yeah, because most of my life I spent just alone, you know. It's very sad. Yes, but I talk to myself, talk to the camera, and that's it.
Yeah, and we're all like somewhat extroverted, mm-hmm. I would say. I mean, we're all like people. We all like
I think I'm a high-functioning introvert.
Yeah, you're like a 40, 60.
I can turn on my extrovert nature when I need to.
What about you, Chad?
I find almost everybody has balances of both, and I move into like literally different stages where for like months at a time I can be a huge introvert, and now I just kind of like lean into it more than anything. Where's Frank James when you need him?
Where is Frank James when you need him? Yeah. Frank James is coming by the studio at some point as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Told everyone I know, and they've all said, yes, I will come by eventually at some point. Joel Haver is coming by at some point.
Oh, really? Whoa. Oh, man, he's the best.
I have a list of everyone, actually, who I've mentioned the studio to, and they said that they will come by when they're in Toronto.
See?
Wow.
Yeah. I was supposed to actually be there for this particular podcast, but circumstances avoided that, but I'm going to come
time.
And visit the studio. Huh.
Well, when you do come by, we'll set up so that there's lots of YouTubers in the studio.
Then let's do that.
That'd be really cool.
And we'll keep talking about this cool Toronto community that we're is being
what are some of these post-it notes that are all over the wall? I saw them in like that hallway to your side there.
These are when someone comes in, when a YouTuber comes in, one of the rules is they have to write a deadline for what they're working on the wall.
I like
and
that.
So we can like look at their deadlines and we can like hold them accountable because we have no boss. So that's what that's for.
You also become accountability buddies.
Yeah, accountability buddies.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We have a lot of different services that we provide. We also have like a projector as well. So we do like we do premieres. If you have like a YouTube video that you want to premiere in front of a group of your peers, then you know, you can we project it onto that green screen. And
wow.
There you go. And we all like pick it apart and give advice.
That's super cool.
So we had one YouTuber who was working on a video for a year and he was like having trouble getting it out. But because we gave him a deadline for the premiere, he's like, okay, now I actually got to finish it. And he finished it enough to show us all. And then we all gave him advice and feedback. And now he's going to like publish it soon.
It's funny how much more accountable you are to another creator. Steve and I and Robert Dunn sometimes will like exchange like thumbnails and just because like you really trust another like another person in the trenches fully understands.
Yeah.
The next time you come on this podcast, I'm well, and even before then, I'm going to come by and visit you and say hello.
Excellent.
I really love what you're doing over there.
Well, thank you. And I think I'll get you on our podcast. We have a studio podcast as well.
Ooh, I got to come up to Toronto. I'm going to have to come
Steve,
up.
Steve, you really do.
Yeah.
You really do. There's so much space here.
When you come up, lots of people will be at the podcast. We'll make it happen.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. It's a day.
It's going to happen.
Okay. All right.
We also need to have you back on the podcast because there's 152 different questions that I had for you that we didn't get to during this particular
one. We'll do rapid fire next time. Just like 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4.
Yeah, yeah.
152
questions with
James. One of the things I like about your channel, by the way, is that it doesn't even really have a name. Sometimes it's J-Reg, sometimes it's Dreg, Junior
Giraffe,
Junior Egg,
Junior Egg, J-Regular.
Which do you prefer? Doesn't matter, does it?
I like it's. So this goes back to being socially constructed. Like I just whatever you want to call me, I'm happy to become.
I will submit you should put musician because Stimulus Feed is probably like the most banger of a tune that I've been listening to for the past couple of months. No, and that's like legit, like well orchestrated, catchy, totally relatable, funny, everything. Well done.
Thank you. Yes, I like
I really enjoyed your ironic rave too.
Oh, cool.
That was good,
well,
too.
I'm doing a second Ironic Rave in Toronto, November 17th. You guys could come in for free. I'll just let you in.
I'm coming to... oh, Steve, I'll get some footage for you because I know you probably can't arrange flights that quickly. Unless you're willing to arrange flights
when
that
is it?
Quickly
when?
For...
November 17th, downtown Toronto.
Oh, that's
Toronto.
Like 2 weeks. No, I can't make that.
Yeah, I'll wave you in, Chad, if you want to come.
And Steve, maybe you can come over the winter time.
I would love to.
It's beautiful. You know what? It'd be a wonderful change. Let's just put that together. So cool. We are going to make this happen because it's on the podcast now. And this is.
And we say it on the podcast. It happens.
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Greg, thanks for joining us. We're going to do it again real soon.
Thanks for having me, Chad and Steve of Chad and Steve Have a Podcast.
How do you like the name of this podcast?
It's like, I'm a white man. We have a podcast.
Yeah, we thought that was a little over the head. Two white guys with a podcast.
With other white guys as guests. So.
With other white guys.
No, I love it. I love it because I love Chad and Steve.
There you go.
You guys are so cool for old people.
Oh, no.
I'm in that forgotten generation of Gen Xers.
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah? You're Gen X. Yeah.
You managed to keep your head down in the generational wars.
I know. We're like, dude, leave me out of this.
It's like you're like keeping your head down. It's like you're in between. Anyway, I'm not.
Did you see the video of the guy walking into the door and he demonstrates what each generation would do?
I saw that on a Gen X subreddit because I was like, what the fuck did Gen X people talk about? Like, what are their memes? And I looked and I saw that one. I was like, oh, this is their memes. Yeah.
I've actually never seen a more accurate theme. But yes, anyways, right. Meme, excuse me. Thanks for joining us, man.